Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Hey, it's Saturday, so it must be another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.
It's Saturday?
By golly, it is. Wake up, Bunker.
God, I wish it was tomorrow. I wish it was yesterday.
I know you do. Welcome to another edition of said program. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, in Los Angeles, our good friend Todd Roberts.
Hello, hello.
There he is. And so here we are.
Yeah,
it's another Saturday.
You're sitting here on our thumbs, yeah.
Just. Well, you might be, but I'm not. I don't. I don't do that anymore.
Mercy.
Anywho, today's program is
brought to you by.
I have no freaking idea who. You know, it is.
Brought to you by chance, fate, and destiny.
We're just doing stuff, yeah. And that's what it is.
Chance, fate, and destiny.
But first of all, we have to do the bovine stuff.
Well, I want to take a second before that, because there's an event today and tomorrow here in Tucson. It's the Mount Lemmon Hill Climb on bicycles. But the reason I wanted to mention it is because Walt Summers, my dear friend Neil Summers' dad, he used to enter that every year in the senior division.
Wow.
And win it every year in the senior division. He was a world champion bicyclist from England and over here. Anyhow, it's in celebration of Tucson's Singular Cycles Challenge, Greater Arizona Bicycling Association, better known as GABA. Not Gabby Hayes, but GABA, sponsors the Mount Lemmon Hill Climb, which is one of the 100 toughest hill climbs in the USA. The route, with a distance of 59.6 miles, that's uphill all the way. There's no downhill on the climb on this one.
That don't sound good.
Yeah, it starts at McDonald District Park on Harrison Road, north of Santa Catalina Highway. And, you know, if you want to go get out and support these guys, you can go up there, find pull-offs, you know, do like they do in Europe when they come riding by, take off your shirt and run alongside them and scream at them.
And wave your shirt to cool them down.
Yeah, you know, who knows, you might make one of them go off the side. Anyhow, that takes care of that, and we may never, ever visit that one again. Now, from Bunker's Bunkhouse, we bring you the good, the bad, and the bovine. I'll explain it shortly, quickly. Starting today, we go back 3 days in time. We go forward 3 days in time. But all of the forward days in time are in the past. Now, the first day we're going to start. I do this so that nobody is confused, except me.
And me.
And Terry. Anyhow, the first day we're going to start with is the 6th of May, 1877. Chief Crazy Horse, war leader of the Oglala Lakota Sioux, was murdered at Camp Robinson, U.S. Army Fort in Nebraska, by a military guard. And he was ignobly stabbed in the back with a bayonet, the coward's way.
Low rent.
Yeah. Now, the next day, I'm in the wrong month all year. May 7, 1718, the city of New Orleans, founded by Jean-Baptiste de Moyne de Bienville.
Spit it out.
He was born in Montreal, was a very early governor of the French Louisiana. Now, we're going to give you a double header for May 7.
What ho?
Because this is very special. On May 7, 1845, a gentleman named George Francis Gabby Hayes was born. He began his career as a sometime leading man and character actor. Now, I'm just going to do something a little different here.
This is an outrage. Dead-burned outrage.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you did that, because I've got a short list of some of the things he's best known for saying. Some of his best B Western sayings. We're going to start with, "Turn, turn it. Your turn, tootin'. Daggummit.
Hey, 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 hey."
Baron Persnickety Baron Female. And for Todd, Young Whippersnapper.
Wait a second, I need some more liquor before I can impersonate him.
Yeah, well, you gotta take your teeth out. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, that
you
I gotta do.
You gotta, take a chew in your back. Got a chew in your back, you know, and spit on one of them persnickety women there.
One of the greats.
Oh, anyhow, moving on to the 8th of May in 1541, going even further back in time, Hernando de Soto, not of the car type, but of the Spanish explorer, conquistador, he stops near present-day Walls, Mississippi, and sees the Mississippi River. And he went, man, that's a lot of water. Anyhow, then it was known by the Spanish name of Rio de Espartu, or Rio of the Spirit, or Spirit River. And the name was given to it by Alfonso Alvarez de Pineda. I love the Mexicans. They got names a mile long. And he was also a conquistador and a cartographer. And then he named it in 1519.
Yeah, now, but he still made great cars.
Yes, they do. I want a DeSoto.
Me too.
It just sounds cool.
My dad had a 53 DeSoto, man. What a great car it was. He used to race Oldsmobiles on Route 66 in Illinois and blow them off the line big time. And you know, I used to sit up in the back.
The rear window?
Yeah, I had that shelf in the back of the rear window. That's where I used to sit or lay or whatever.
My dad had a 39 Plymouth Coupe, so you know there was no back seat. So when we would go on camping trips, there would be the little boat that he built on the strap to the top, my mom in the passenger seat, and me up there in the shelf.
What a way to go. DeSoto's great cars, man.
Yeah. Anyhow, let's see, we did the 9th, didn't we?
Maybe.
Oh, no, we didn't. We did the 8th. Okay, May 9, 1540. Hernando de Alarcón set sail on an expedition into the Gulf of Mexico. An explorer and navigator, noted for leading the expedition to the Colorado River Delta, from its mouth, one of the great first Europeans to see Alta California, which is now known as the State of California, or the State of Liberal Confusion.
Okay.
Now, May 10, 1869, this is one for you again, Harry, and for Todd, first transcontinental railroad, a 1,911-mile continuous railroad line connected existing eastern rail networks between Council Bluff, Iowa, and the Oakland Long Wharf at San Francisco Bay. May 11, 1910, now we're getting into the 20th century, Glacier National Park established, located on the Canadian-U.S. border, encompasses more than 1 million acres, includes 2 mountain ranges, more than 130 named lakes, over 1,000 species of plants, and hundreds of species of animals. Man, that's a lot of vegetation. And
who was responsible for that particular park, National Park?
It wasn't Teddy.
I think so.
You sure? I know it's responsible for Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, yeah.
Well, anyhow,
all national parks are or should be attributed to, indirectly, if you will, to President Roosevelt.
I've been up there, and I'm sure Todd has. That is one of the most gloriously beautiful places on earth.
Yep.
And the lodge up there, God, I could go up there and just die and live there forever.
You know, and the interesting thing is, Teddy Roosevelt more than likely visited those areas.
Oh, sure.
Whilst he was looking to create his ranch in the Dakotas.
Well, he did most of that traveling after that.
Okay, but my point is,
like, he came down after he was president. He came down here looking for an area down in southern Arizona to establish a park.
Point being, the president traveled to these places before they were named anything.
Yeah, absolutely, he did.
No, he was a hunter. He's looking for something to shoot.
Well,
the guy was sure. You know, and this is a good place to take a side trip. you know, we talk about, you know, him being a conservationist and nothing like that. He wasn't a conservationist in the sense that we think of conservationists today, mm-hmm. because what he was doing was setting up reserves, places where the land, the animals, and the people could exist, and you could make extraction from it so that that land would pay for itself but be there in perpetuity.
Exactly.
Conservationists today, it's all about kicking people off the land, letting it go fallow, or get overcrowded, and then burn up with forest fires.
Yep.
That's and then go suck on a bush.
Yeah, sit on a bush. Now, we're getting close to wrapping this up. We have 2 days. We only have 1 day left.
Uh-oh.
May 12th, 1846. Oh, this is a very happy one. I love this one because it has such a happy, happy, happy ending. The Donner Party, Donner Reed Party, actually, not Donna Reed, but Donner Reed Party of Pioneers departs Independence, Missouri,
Alex,
for California. Their wagon train was delayed by a multitude of mishaps, mostly incompetence. They spent the winter of 1846-47 snowbound in the Sierra Nevadas, where some of the people there resorted to cannibalism. No. But the one positive thing that came out of there was a recipe book and 50 ways to prepare your neighbor.
Tastes like chicken.
That was the week that was and wasn't.
And we're so glad it did not happen. Mm. All right, what do we got here? Let's see, what's our time here? Do we need to do our...
Well, let's throw it over. Oh, come up with something.
We got plenty of time before a break. Mr. Roberts.
Yes, sir.
What you got for us, sir?
Well, you know, it's on days like this... when I'm not allowed to go out and get drunk, it reminds me of the fact that we have, our show, I think, is not the only example, but it's one of the many examples of freedom that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Because we can go in any direction we like, we can talk about any subject. And we can't be exiled, ostracized, extricated, and or sent into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And we can upset a lot of liberals.
Well, you know, but we don't try.
No,
that's
we
not,
don't,
you know,
no
we,
effort
we
at all to upset liberals.
It just happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think that we have a... We're just so incredibly lucky that we are in this moment, in this day, in this country, and whatever the political climate is, we're able to live our lives in the way we choose, how we choose, where we choose, why we choose, with whom we choose. And, you know, as I said over Thanksgiving, over Christmas, and you guys have heard this story many times, you know, I got myself that tactical shotgun for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did take me 9 years. And, you know, as Nola said to me, I sure hope your next project isn't that long. but, you know, I was able to get it, and I have it, and I'm grateful that I do, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me every time I look at it that how lucky we are to be in this country and have the freedoms we do. And that's very much the way this show is. We have the freedom to speak. Our founder was much more insightful with forethought.
Much better at saying it.
Well, he didn't give a shit.
Well, as he said to me, you know, he called me and he said,
Tiger.
Hey, Tiger, how are you? Well, I'm good, Emil. How are you? Listen, I ain't putting up with this shit anymore, so we're going to go to a podcast. Does that bother you? I said, no, it doesn't bother me, whatever. Good. Well, if it did, it wouldn't matter anyway.
Right.
Just be ready for my call, because I, right. You know,
yep.
I ain't stopping the train for too long. You understand? And,
oh,
you know, here we are able to do a show that we have no constraints. You know, Harry, you say it so well so often. Hey, this ain't CBS.
Yep.
You're right. I would like us to be bigger, better, and more glossy and whatever. But, you know,
but
that comes
more down to earth.
That comes at a price. And, you know, the bigger you get, the more you have to give it away.
Yeah, but you know, the best thing is that we are three guys who took over a podcast from one guy.
And
it takes three of us to do this program. No, actually, it does not take three of us. But, you know,
to create the show, not to run the show, but to create the show that he created on his own,
exactly.
It takes the three of us.
Exactly.
Which reminds me of when I went to Rome for the summer, and I was with my parents, very good friend, Mrs. Rodriguez, and she's the only reason I got any cultural nourishment in Rome, because her son and I just did nothing but chase women in the next liquor bottle.
And that's what you're supposed to do in Rome.
Yeah, no, Mrs. Rodriguez didn't agree with that. So every day she got up and took me out, and we saw, you know, the greatest architecture and art, and maybe in the world.
Yeah.
And we were going along somewhere, and we're in the forum, and she said, you see these little rooms here, Todd? I said, yes, Mrs. Rodriguez. She said, the Emperor of Rome ruled the entire Empire of Rome with just six clerks. And she called them clerks.
Uh-huh.
She said, six clerks. And I said,
that's the English pronunciation.
You mean clerks? And she said, no, Todd, I mean clerk.
They were called clerks.
English. Like Clark Kent.
That's the English pronunciation.
Yeah.
So Clark Kent.
Think that the most powerful empire on the planet was the administration office was just six people. Just six guys.
That sounds like Washington.
No, it does not sound like Washington.
They can't run a dog catching outfit with six people.
Right.
They can't order breakfast.
You got to have a study for it first.
Yeah, exactly. I went into a post office the other day on the way back from seeing Jerry England out in Chatsworth, and he told me, he goes, "Well, Todd, if you're out here, you got to go see the post office. It's got a Maynard Dixon mural in it."
Ooh.
So I went there, and I went in, and I looked at the mural. It's beautiful, and I took pictures, sent them to Nola, and I looked around, and there was only one guy working in there. And I thought, wow, somebody must have not gotten the memo that they're not, you know, they need to waste more money at this station.
Right, right.
Well, they lost, this year, they were $1 billion in the red.
They're. Don't forget, they're.
That's the fifth year in a row. Fifth year
every year, just as the Amtrak is in the red every year.
I'm in the freaking red all the time. Okay,
you're an individual. You're allowed to be in the red. The government's not allowed to be in the red.
Hey, if they let the railroads be railroads and not what
there's all kinds of problems with that because of the freight
and the
all
unions.
That and the unions and all that stuff, but we'll get to that after this commercial break.
I knew where you were going.
Emil Franzi's Voice of the West. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Sheep herder, eh? Yes, sheep herder. You know, I never did like sheep herders. And something seems to tell me I ain't gonna like you.
Well, I guess it's going to be mutual.
Look here. This town ain't gonna be big enough for me and you.
Then if I were you, I'd start moving.
This is the Voices of the West.
Amel Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. And we're talking about
nothing.
Damn near nothing.
You know, that last drop, though?
Yeah.
Just before I left the house, I had on a little kind of B to Z Western Domino Kid with Roy Calhoun.
Ooh.
And the scene I was watching was when he... He's looking for these guys that killed his dad. He's always looking for someone that kills your dad. And he's come up on one of them, Roy Barcroft.
Oh.
And they're in the bar and they have the face off, and Barcroft is like, you know, okay, well, go ahead and make your play because, you know, you're going to be dead. And of course, we know what happened to Roy.
Right.
But it was good to see Roy get plugged one more time.
Good stuff.
I have
man.
No idea what the movie was about.
Good stuff.
I
got
to watch it now.
You know, that. And that brings me to our Western consumption.
Yes.
And we ain't talking about the disease.
The disease.
Good movies. You know, I don't know how many other people watch Westerns on Friday night or watch Westerns period, but Friday night is the night for Westerns for my wife and I. And we've got 800 and some odd Westerns under our belts.
You guys are awesome.
And it's at the point where we're, you know, watching reruns. And that's okay.
I like reruns.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. Black Aces, Buck Jones. Oh, what a good movie that was. You know, hey, anything with Buck Jones is good.
Oh, my God.
Where the West Begins, Jack Randall and Fuzzy Knight. That was pretty interesting to say, I will say.
Randall is underrated, and Fuzzy Knight is Fuzzy Knight.
Well, you know, Randall is the brother of Robert Livingston, and unfortunately, Jack died too early.
Way too early.
And, you know, it's just good stuff.
We need a Jack Randall Film Festival.
Yeah, and then we watched Five Card Stud, Dean Martin and Bob Mitchum.
And Roddy McDowell. Is the
and Roddy McDowell. Todd, what do you think of that movie?
Yaphet Kotto.
You know, I think anything that Yaphet Kotto's in is excellent.
Yeah, for he was sure, a, huh?
He was good.
He was.
He was an underrated actor.
Very.
He was, you know, whether you look at him as the villain in the Bond film. Well, he was Idi Amin, yes. And then he was in the Bond film.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Seymour and Jeffrey Holder. Which was I forget it at this moment. It's not You Only Live Twice. It's not Diamonds Are Forever. It's takes place down in Louisiana. The black magic and he's excellent in that. But you know, he was excellent every time he was on television on all those big valleys.
Yep,
he did,
or any of the other things he did, but. I really think you really start to examine his talent as an actor when you see him in Midnight Run with Robert De Niro.
Oh.
As the FBI agent.
Oh, yeah.
Alonzo Mosley.
Oh,
and, man. You know, his subordinates are always coming to him and they're giving them bad news. And one of them walks up to him. He comes up to him and he's got a piece of paper in his hand. And he looks at him before the guy, before the guy starts to hand him the piece of paper. It's some type of news is on it. He goes, "Is this going to upset me?"
You know,
just the way he delivers the line, so stone cold,
right?
Yeah, he's just so good.
He did one of the really outstanding High Chaparrals, and that particular episode also won some awards, and that was the Buffalo Soldiers.
Oh, that was, that was perhaps...
That's the first of the Buffalo Soldier things.
Perhaps the best High Chaparrals episode ever.
One of the best, for sure.
I tell you what, I mean, Living history as a Confederate, or not a Confederate, but as a Union artilleryman, and I mean, I love how the Buffalo Soldiers do what they do on command.
And as a unit.
And as a unit. It is just, I love drill teams. Great stuff.
That's an episode I really, anybody out there that if you collect stuff, try and get that particular segment of Chaparral's that has Buffalo Soldiers.
It's great.
And you can see me in there as one of the commentators.
Well, and
you can see me.
You never look at the camera.
Well, the camera never looks at me.
And see, that's why I talked about the horse last week. That wouldn't look at the camera.
Yeah. Hey, that's important. You know, if that horse got too established, it couldn't work any more money.
I know. Anywho,
you were saying, Todd?
Well, every time you look at Yaphet Kotto, think about him in the movie Brubaker with Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Oh,
hello.
God. He has this ability to, at the drop of a hat, channel some really intense anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a switch going on. One minute everything's fine, and the next one it just becomes like a laser.
Yep.
What a talent.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the indicators of great actors, is the ones that can go from such tranquility that they scare you when they make you. Dan Duryea was like that.
Oh, big time.
Scare you with that switch. It was like the blink of an eye.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, Five Card Stud, I thought, was a really good movie. We certainly enjoyed it.
Well, it's a detective western, like we were talking about.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Before the show started.
I guess it would be.
You know, a lot of folks, they look at westerns and they have these blinders on. It's got to be the way they saw it back when they were a certain age.
Yeah, yeah.
And westerns that are different, I don't know about it. And there's people out there, they look at that and they go, oh, that's a detective story. Or that's noir western. No, it's a good western. Watch
it. It was. Hal Wallace production. I mean, you know, so you know it's going to be good based on that. And
that was an interesting story.
It was.
And the poker game itself is interesting at the beginning of the show.
Hello. Yeah. I mean, geez. I don't want to be in that game.
And you think about, you know, of course, this is a typical Robert Mitchum role, but you think about,
as the preacher.
Here's this vengeance-minded preacher who's going to avenge his brother. But one of the guys that's involved in the poker game, which is Martin, he's absolved that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's only Martin playing Sam Spade Jr., you know, that figures it out and it becomes a danger to Mitchum.
Just a good movie all the way around. The other movie we watched, let's see, we did... Five Card Stud. We did Where the West Begins, Jack Randall, Fuzzy Night, and Buck Jones.
What did you say about that one?
I enjoyed it.
Well, give us some meaty detail.
The wife did not enjoy it because of the singing. Even though Jack was a singing cowboy. Black Aces, Buck Jones. I mean, there is nothing else you can say about it. Except
you can say
Buck Jones. It's a Buck Jones movie.
Let me ask you a question. He got in a fight, right?
Yep.
Did his shirt get tore off?
Of course.
That's all you need to know. him and George O'Brien. They had great fights. But see, these were the cowboys with the biggest chests.
Right.
They should have done a movie together where they fight each other.
The chests.
It would have been like Charlton Heston and Gregory Peck in The Big Country. They would have gone until they were both exhausted.
And then we watched a Hoppy movie that we've obviously already seen. We have seen all 66 of the Hoppy movies, but you know, they're Hoppy, so you watch them again.
Yes, indeed.
Border Vigilantes. And
they got a beautiful lobby card from that one.
Any Hoppy movie is a good movie as far as I'm concerned.
And
I don't
any
care.
Lobby card from a Hoppy movie is a good lobby card.
You know...
what do you think of lobby cards there, Todd?
I love lobby cards because... You know, I have a bunch of movie posters, and they're too big, so I can't hang them. But if you get a lobby card, you get it framed, and you just put it right up.
Yeah.
Hey, you can always squeeze your lobby card in. You know, it's easy to work with.
That is one of my wants, is to get bunches of lobby cards so I can frame them and put them up in my apartment.
You know, that's one of the things that I like about the lobby cards and the smaller one sheets and stuff like that. The colors are just like the colors.
Vibrant.
They were like the pulp novels.
Yeah.
It was that three-color process that just popped out at you.
Perfect.
You had
to
go see the movie just because of the...
Because of the card. Exactly.
Well, and the lobby cards also have more of a realistic feel because it's... a still from the movie, whereas the poster is more of an inspiration of the movie.
Right. And the colors they used, yellow was one of the colors that they used
yellow,
a lot.
Yellow, red, and blue.
Yep, real. Yeah, I mean, vibrancy.
We need to do a show on colors of pulp Western fiction.
You know,
like Reich's Romance and stuff like that. Those colors.
If we could do,
I want those original.
I know.
Names,
well, go see Neil Summers' Estate.
I want to know what's happening with that.
If we could do that, that'd be great. But it has to be a video presentation because those things are just so cool. Yeah. They're hard to describe.
Well, I want to know where. Who has custodia of them now?
Yeah, me too. But anyway, we're going to do our next...
Buck would know.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. Our next commercial break on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts. We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning,
My advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Maybe we just don't believe in trouble and trouble till trouble troubles us.
I ain't so sure the marshal would shoot a man in the back.
Well, then he'll turn you around and shoot you.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. And it's a show, it's a Seinfeld show. It's about nothing.
Well, you know, I've got something I want to share.
Well, I do too.
Oh, share it.
Okay. Before we get any further here, or yeah, further on the program, I need to tell you that the three of us, the three amigos, are going to be on Inside Track, which is another podcast, a video podcast, on this Wednesday. What is that, the 12th?
That's, let me look at
whatever it is.
Oh, you know.
This Wednesday, 9 o'clock Arizona time, and figure it out if you're in not in Arizona time.
Use your fingers and count.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be, the three of us are going to be on there, substituting for Bruce Ash and Eb Wilkinson and everybody else who's on that program, because the two of them are going to be gone on business elsewhere. And so the three of us are going to take over that program. We are going to be doing comedic Westerns.
The fate of their show is in our hands.
I know.
Oh, gosh. You know, they should be worried.
Yeah, they should be, but they're not.
Oh, the line from that movie? You should be scared. Very,
anyway,
very scared.
You can watch it live. Livethedreammedia.com. They have an app. You can download that if you want and watch us from there, or don't bother. Whatever.
Well, you can catch it and you can scroll it later.
You know, whatever blows up your skirt.
Oh, I'm not wearing a skirt.
I know.
I don't wear skirts.
I know.
I never wear skirts.
I know.
I will not wear a skirt.
But you will.
No, but you have been known to wear a kilt.
Yeah.
Oh, laddie, you're speaking my language now. So speaking of kilts, which I wasn't, I want to share with you this last Wednesday down at the Empire Ranch, we had Legacy Day. And this is a very dear thing to a bunch of us people that volunteer down there. Dr. Richard Shore, he was a vet for many, many years, one of the founders of the foundation, and I think the first president, maybe second, I'm not sure. But this is an event that he has been putting on for many, many years, and it's for the school kids down in the, you know, the that area, Sonoyta, mm-hmm. Patagonia, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they have a bunch of different, they have like, what was it, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They break them into three groups. They have from Steve Boyce's Horsing Around, they have some stuff over there, and they talk about horses and whatnot. They have another one where it's a little roping clinic. Dick himself has a braiding, rawhide braiding thing
nice.
That he does. And basically all the foundation really does is we show up with food, we feed the kids lunch, My job, which is probably the most important one in the food line, is passing out the tortillas.
Of course.
And but you know, it's just, it's great to see these kids because it's been said from time immemorial, the kids are the future of a country.
And these kids care about what's going on there, right?
Well, this is the thing. These urban kids versus the rural kids. These rural kids, it's like watching some of these kids out there with the roping demonstration. These kids out, they're roping. And this one kid's out there, and he's throwing ropes from all kinds of angles and everything like that. And I think he was an eighth grader, one of the older kids. And somebody said, "Man, you're pretty good at that." And he rears back. He pops out his belt buckle and he says, "How do you think I won this?"
Ah, roping champion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But that's the thing. You know, you take a bunch of city kids out there, and first of all, you'd have to take away their electronic devices, which immediately would put them all into a catatonic state. So you wouldn't be able to get through to them. But this, the difference, the politeness, you know, the manners these kids have, and they're wholesome kids. I mean, it's just wonderful to see them out there.
I remember when our late friend Joe Dreyfus had his program, The Visit, on KVOI radio, and I used to produce it, and he would bring in some of these ranch kids, and they were just unbelievable. They were so shy, but they were unbelievable because they talked the talk and walked the walk.
And they were polite. Yes, ma'am. No, God. Ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. No smart ass us.
Yeah, no. I mean, they were so, so cool. And that's what made the show great.
Yeah, that's again, I'll say it again, that's the only hope we have for future generations. Because these kids don't exist on cell phones. They, you know, first of all, I think a lot of them are homeschooled. These kids weren't because they're going to public school. But they're not sitting there with a computer learning math. They're learning math the old-fashioned way. They're learning reading and writing. And they're teaching them how to write, spell, you know, all the things that a computer does not and cannot do.
Yep.
As opposed to those that are playing Sudoku on their phone and sucking on a go-gurt. They're going to grow up to be really useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Thomas the Tank Engine would not think so. Mm-hmm. They are not you being very useful.
Yes, I can.
No. Thomas always wanted to have engines being useful.
What was the little train that was yes I can?
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
That was one of the classics.
Well, Bob the Builder would say Wyatt would watch Bob the Builder.
Yep.
And he'd make me sit there with him and we'd watch it together and you know, they'd get the project and can we do it? Yes, we can. And Wyatt would say, "Yes, we can." And then he'd look over at me and he'd go, "Dad, you didn't say yes, we can." "Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we can." Okay. Don't miss it again.
Again,
Dad.
Really.
Yeah. Now, Don't miss it again.
And there was another YouTube, I don't know if it was YouTube or on broadcast television, but anyway, there was this guy who did repairs. It was Wally's Workshop. And Wally, I mean, he and his wife would be there and they would start repairing some stuff. And Wally's vision was, you can do it if you try.
Do you remember the Wood Wright Show?
No, I don't.
It was on PBS, but this guy, it's like an old timey blacksmith tinkerer shop, and he dressed the part, and he would build things, but everything was built from scratch.
Yeah,
and it was just a fascinating show.
I remember Wally's Workshop along with our Mr. Sun. From that was in grade school, I think, and I think it was produced by IBM or GE. I'm not sure, and I don't remember who our Mr. Sun host was, but he talked about how the sun worked.
You're not talking about Ready Kilowatt, are you?
No, no, no. And he also did Ready Kilowatt. He also did, God.
What's the Crime Dog?
No, he didn't do McGruff. there were some others that he did. And they were, you know, hey, in elementary school, you latch onto that stuff.
Oh, it sticks with you. I can remember Cuckoo Fran and Ollie.
Oh, of course.
Do you remember?
I do.
You do?
I do. I used to watch them.
You're not old enough.
It doesn't matter. I used to watch them.
Okay. Well, they reran them.
Okay.
But Howdy Doody, that was a freaky show.
I remember that one, too.
That was freaky.
Buffalo Bob.
Buffalo Bob.
Hi, kids.
Buffalo Bob was cool, but Clarabelle the Clown, that freaked me out.
You know, and so many local television stations to emulate those kinds of programs. The most famous in Arizona was Wallace and Ladmo.
Yeah, up in Phoenix.
Up in Phoenix. In Tucson, we had...
Dr. Demento.
No, we had
Dr. Demento, Sunday nights, KMET. Yeah. Knockers up.
we had in Tucson, we had Mayor Carl. He was on Channel 13. And then we had Marshall Kagan.
I remember Marshall Kagan.
Who was on Channel 9.
Yeah, that was the first channel. That was the first TV station.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, we were exposed to that kind of stuff.
I was up in Phoenix for a couple of years with my dad around third and fourth grade. And they had, Lou King and his Rangers.
It was at the
Fox Theater, and this was a big thing. There would be a couple of thousand kids there for the show, and they put on a show before the movies.
I remember Mayor Carl. I got to be a guest on Mayor Carl.
Ooh.
Oh, I know. I don't even know where.
I bow to you, Harry.
I have no idea where that tape went, and probably don't want to find it again. But
it's evidence.
Yeah, right.
You were stealing cigarettes from all the stage techs.
Todd, who told you?
You did.
I was trying to steal cigarettes from the stage tech. Mr. Henry Lachey, junior high school, he ran the entire theater, the theater extra program, and the stage tech program.
Yep.
We applied, and my dad heard about it, and he was like, no, you're taking a typing class. So the following year, I said, I graduated the typing class. I'm going to join stage crew. And he saw my application, and he found me on the schoolyard, and he said, you're applying for my stage crew. And I was like, yeah, I am. And he was like, you don't want to be in stage crew. No, I really do. All my friends are in stage crew. I want to be with all the cool guys.
And you meet girls that way.
Well, he says, I know why you want to be in stage crew, and you're wrong. I said, what? Yeah, you think you're going to be in stage crew, and you're going to be cool, and you're going to meet all these girls. You're going to meet a lot more girls in theater department. And I was like, what? Yeah. And then he said, on top of that, you think you want to be in, you're going to get in a stage crew and steal my beer and my cigarettes like your other hoodlum friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm getting that number down to a very low minimum. So no, you're going to be in theater.
Yeah, right.
And that was the end of it.
Yep.
You know, that's funny. When I got out of the Navy, my stepdad was dying, and that's why I got out a little early because of that. And he passed away. But I had spent the last 4 months of his life, my mom and myself, either taking care of the bar or taking care of him. So it's spring. He passed away over the Christmas holidays. And they were going to do a play there in Ruidoso. And I'm thinking, you know, I have been cut off from humanity. I've got to do something to get socialized again. I'm going to volunteer for the stage crew. And again, you know, ulterior motive, there's girls and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a terrible thing happened. I got cast as a juvenile lead.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. You got no time to meet girls when you're trying to. It takes me forever to remember something. And then I got to memorize it again the next day anyway.
So, yeah.
Bunker, what was the name of the bar in Ruidoso?
Well, the bar that my folks owned was the Central Bar and Grill, but they ran the Mint Bar when they first came up there. Then the Ruidoso Bar, the Central, the Buckaroo, the Wind Place Show, and a couple others that I can't remember the names of.
Wow.
And then they ran the Silver Spur down in Carlsbad and the Rocket up in Roswell. They ran the Rocket, the bar, and the motel.
Successful, right, very successful bar owners, hoteliers, I'm sure. We got to finish up, take our next or final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Yosemite Sam! It's Yosemite Sam!
Yosemite Sam!
Yosemite, yeah, Yosemite Sam! The roughest, toughest key man, snuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande! And I ain't no mamby-pamby!
This is the Voices of the West.
When he rides into a town, everybody holds their breath, 'cause hanging on the leather, then somebody dies, and when he walks away, then somebody cries.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. The great Johnny Western there.
Yeah.
And the Gunfighter. That's the name of it.
Oh, speaking of Gunfighter.
Yes, sir.
I was kind of bored. I finished it up on my computer thing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to look up Western movies to be released in 2026.
And you found zero.
I found close to 40.
I can't believe that.
And I mean, there was some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
A couple of them are actually out. A couple of them are in development. So many that are being remade. Some you never think.
Well, there's a bunches of them that are on Amazon Prime. So if you have that particular streaming app. I suggest you check them out. Just look in the Westerns category.
Hey, Taron Sheridan has over, I think, six projects.
I know.
Just this year.
I know.
Three of them are already dropped.
Yep. Yeah, and he's on Paramount Plus, and Taylor Sheridan stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's coming out.
One of the ones that looks interesting, too, is 1944. I saw some clips. It's still... It's one of those things that it may make it by the end of the year, most likely next year.
Yeah. Well, not familiar with that one, but there are bunches of stuff on Paramount Plus, and on Amazon for Westerns being released.
The Young Guns 3 is definitely a go.
Uh huh.
And another one of the remake things is The Gunfighter, with Ethan Hawke. You know, that's the old Gregory Peck movie. Ethan Hawke's going to be remaking it, playing. I think he's doing working script, directing. And
it's not the Gunfighter deal, is it?
No, it's the Gregory Peck Gunfighter movie.
Okay, because the Gunfighter deal is released on Amazon. That is a damn good movie.
Oh, this hasn't been done yet.
No.
It's still in development.
Got to watch it. It's
I watched an episode last night. I caught they're streaming it. I missed the first two, but I caught one of the episodes on Hell on Wheels.
Really?
Yeah, it's running.
New release? New release?
No, it's the old series. They're streaming it now on CW.
Ah, okay. Well, very good series as well.
I didn't catch the best episode, I know, because this is the episode where our hero has been taken captive by the Mormons, and he's been forced to marry this young lady, and the black guy in there has just fought to the death with a grizzly bear. But I know he's not dead because I've seen previews, and he was in other scenes.
That was a great series as well.
It's well made, and I like his trial at the Mormon church with the bishop, who is responsible for a horrible deed to his in the back. He's coughed. He cuffs the sheriff, and the father leaps across the death, and he's choking the bishop to death with the handcuffs. I mean, this is cool stuff.
Good stuff, man, and more than likely pretty damn accurate.
And there's another scene in there where the black guy, he's the sheriff, I guess, in one of the rail towns. He's gone out to look for somebody. I missed those episodes. I don't know what the backstory is on it. But anyhow, he's traveling cross country. Just before he leaves, this young lady comes out. She's got the tribal markings on her chin.
Yes, yeah.
And she's telling him, don't go. And he says, I'm not going to look
at it. Yep.
But anyhow, he's riding across. He comes up on four warriors. And they're in full paint, and he pulls out his pistol, and he's charging them. They're charging him. He kills a couple of them, and he's facing off the last one. They're looking at him, and he goes, "Make your play." And he kind of like, "Fuck," and he just rides off. But it was like, you could see that being a little more realistic than some of the things that they do.
Oh, I totally agree. Hell on Wheels, great. Great series to watch. Do so. That's about all the time we got, fellas.
Oh,
I know.
Horse Bucky.
I know.
Well, to paraphrase Hell on Wheels, Heck on heck.
We'll just have to extend the hour.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to an hour and five.
Yeah, let's not and say we did. That's about it for this edition of M.O. Francis Voices of the West.
78, 79, 80 O's. And if you knew what this was all about, please contact us and let us know, because we ain't got a clue.
Thank you, folks, for listening. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.